Welcome to Endgame Chat for Saturday, June 9th, 2012. This is Season 6, Special E3 Impressions. I'm Scott, along with James. What you'll notice about this show is that it's very different from any other show. We don't even have an episode number for this, because we are sort of just trying to get some impressions out there very quickly. E3 is right upon us. It just got done. And we'd like to give you some thoughts. And mainly the reason for this is, should we put this in one of our full regular episodes, you would have a very, very long episode to listen to. So this is sort of an out-of-the-box, just something we haven't tried before, but something we're actually very excited to do. It's just me and James, and we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about E3. Not over the press conferences. We'll get to that as a group. A lot of the games as well, we'll probably get to that as a group also. But I'm going to hand it over to James, and he's going to go into a lot of the stuff that he'd like to discuss, as well as the impressions that I got from the show floor. So that being said, James, it's up to you.
When did you get there?
I got there Sunday morning at, oh God, the plane took off at like 7 something, I don't know. And I got there at 1 in the afternoon on Sunday, Pacific time.
Okay.
So
you had enough time in the evening on Sunday, right? You didn't really have much you had to do. You check in and everything, but you don't have any show. You don't have anything to worry about where the show is concerned until Monday, right?
Correct. There was nothing. There was nothing going on. Basically, and this is the tradition that I do with every Sunday, or with every E3. The Sunday that I get there, I get to the hotel and I check in. If there's people there to meet up with, we'll go meet up and have something to eat. We're usually hungry after that. The next order of business is to go get our badge from the convention center. Whenever I do this, I take my camera and get all the pictures of, you know, the outside of the convention center, the way it's decorated and everything, and whatever else is going on. I try to get pictures of the inside of the convention center because it's the best time to do that since...
Before it's choked with people.
Right, since there's nobody there. Sometimes you can get away with that, and sometimes you can't, because every now and again you'll run into one of their security people who says, nope, no pictures to be taken inside the convention center, so... I think I got a couple shots off, but that's the tradition. You go, you get your media badge, and then you take your pictures, and that wraps up Sunday. You don't do a lot of late night stuff on Sunday because you've got to be up pretty early in the morning to catch shuttle buses to take you to the press conference if you're going.
Let's see, it's Microsoft write off. That's 9 o'clock local, 9 o'clock Western.
That's 9 o'clock local. I got there.
But you need to be in line like an hour and a half or something.
Well, yeah, they have shuttle buses that leave every 30 minutes beginning 6:30 in the morning. Because I would just send you pictures. I got up and had a nice big breakfast. It's the only place and the only time I really could have one of those. But I got up and I got on the 6:30 shuttle bus, and I was the sixth in line for Microsoft. Which, being in line early means maybe you get a good seat for these things, but you don't really need a good seat for these things. There's no point. I mean, I guess if you're taking pictures, but press conference pictures don't matter because they're broadcasts. So people at home get a better view than what you get.
I would.
Usually.
That's an important point. Pictures alone don't matter at all.
And I would not say for the press conferences, no.
I would say that... with the exception of a couple of things about gameplay happening live on a stage, the press conferences are essentially worthless.
Yeah,
for you in person. Previous years, you didn't last year. I think you didn't even get into the Microsoft press conference. Is that right?
I've only been to two Microsoft. I've been going. This was my fifth year going. I've only been to two. The first two that I ever went to was. The first E3 and the second E3. After that, never got into Microsoft.
But you were in this year.
I was in this year.
You were in.
Thanks to Twisted Pixel, I should send out a nice little thanks to them.
I meant to ask you that. You sent me your itinerary, but you didn't send it to me until Monday.
I forgot.
I didn't have a breakdown of what to expect that you were doing on Monday.
On Monday, yeah. But I got into Microsoft with courtesy of Twisted Pixel getting me in, which was awesome.
Which is good. I meant to ask you who it was that allowed you to get in.
I got to email them and thank them on that. The one that was after that was EA. I have only been to EA once. Mm-hmm. I've only been to one of their press conferences, maybe two. Well, actually, yeah, two. Again, just like Microsoft. But I've never been to another one since. So I can never get into their stuff.
You were not at this one?
I was not at this one.
Did you watch it? Did you have the opportunity to go to the... You couldn't go to the press room or somewhere and...
They don't have anything like that. I mean, maybe they do at the convention center.
I'm constantly baffled by that.
Yeah, I know. There's no place for you to watch this. If your hotel has good internet, you can watch it online. If your hotel has cable, you can watch it there.
Right, but you are either inside of the doors, or you may as well be at home.
Right, yeah. That goes for any of them. That goes for all of them. There is no, like, herding area where it's like, well, if you didn't get in, we've got this auditorium set up for you to sit in and watch.
Right.
You know, there's nothing like that, which they need to change, but...
That's been something I've been confused about for years.
Yeah.
You've said that in previous years, the most recent few, when you didn't get into the Microsoft conference... I would ask you sometimes, I would text you and ask you, are you... Because in my mind, you're in a lobby and there's a TV up on a thing and everybody who couldn't get in is spending time watching that and sort of yammering back and forth to one another about what's happening. You're just not experiencing it inside.
Right, exactly.
Yes, maybe you can go back to your hotel, but if you're missing a conference that's sandwiched in between two others that you do have access to, you can't necessarily get back to your hotel.
You don't have time. And that was the case for...
So you are, I'm sorry, but you are less informed than some knob who's sitting at home or watching from work.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about Dead Space. I didn't know anything about Need for Speed. I didn't know anything about EA Sports. I didn't know anything about SimCity. Because my time was spent, again, this was also unusual. As much as the norm was not to get into Microsoft, not to get into EA, the unusual part was I didn't get into Ubisoft either.
But you were in, what, you were waiting in a standby?
I was on a waiting list for Ubisoft, so I thought, I'm going to get there early. So I walked with Nick from Co-Optimus. I walked with him to the EA press conference, and he went and got in line there. And then I just went down a couple more blocks to where Ubi was. And I stood right there, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited for two and a half hours or so. I got there at about 12. And their press conference didn't start till 3. They didn't open the doors until 2. So even with the doors open, I was still waiting outside to get in with about 50 to 75 other people who didn't get in. And about 10 minutes after the press conference started, they let us in.
Oh, okay.
And we went to not the balcony, but the upper balcony, the balcony above the balcony. And watched from there, which is fine because it's all on huge screens. Mm-hmm. So it was okay. I got in right at the time they went into their Far Cry 3 presentation, where it got really weird. And we can talk about that at another time.
But the timing of that press conference meant that I couldn't get to it immediately either. I had to... 3 o'clock Pacific is right around the time I get off work.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. I left a few minutes early. Got to my computer a few minutes late. So I think about the time that you were walking in was about the time I was opening a stream.
Right, okay.
So none of us saw the beginning until later, I suppose.
Yeah, and I have no idea what was shown at the beginning. I don't remember what. Probably host introductions and whatever
else. Introductions, some, you know, the first of a lot of crude jokes, some dancers. Things like that.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Nothing of substance. All Nothing of the things of substance, that mattered right. most in the Ubisoft press conference happened after you got in. And after you left.
And after I left.
Based on what we said. Because, not that I particularly want to get into the details, but by that point in the day, I mean, Jeremy and I had made an effort to watch everything we could. We watched the Microsoft press conference dutifully. Mm-hmm. We watched EA distractedly. And then got home to see Ubi, and we knew for a certainty that Ubi would be worth watching for no other reason than Assassin's Creed. There would be something, because we knew that the game would be coming out. We knew that we would probably see the first gameplay.
Right. The two, well, originally, yes, that was my intention, was, look, I don't care how long I'm waiting out here, just get me in to see Assassin's Creed 3. However, previously that morning, I had seen Splinter Cell footage. And I thought,
yes, that's at the Ubi. Microsoft conference.
At the Microsoft conference. Yes. And I thought, well, I want to see whatever they're going to show for that too. So I was like, get me in for Splinter Cell, get me in for Assassin's Creed.
Right.
That's all I want to see.
Because as we're just, for the purposes of this discussion, we're going to call you a reporter.
Yeah, go ahead.
and I'll be the consumer.
Okay.
Because there are really three interested parties, right? There are producers, reporters, and consumers. Those are the three participants in E3. Everybody, you may fall into a couple of different categories depending on what. If you're a producer for this game, but you're looking forward to seeing what this other guy does, obviously you fall into several different categories. But that's really...
Yeah, I mean, there's your investors.
Yeah, but even they still fall into the... Consumer. To certain consumer or producer,
consumer, depending on how the argument
unfolds.
Yeah.
But for the purposes of the discussion, I'll play consumer, you get to play reporter.
Okay.
And we'll just have to agree that we already know what the producer is.
Right.
At any particular point in time. But as, particularly as a consumer, I'm not expecting, I want, but I'm not expecting new IP. And by this point in the day, the third conference, having seen essentially nothing, I wasn't expecting anything.
Right.
So, whatever Watch Dogs may turn out to be, its very existence, and where it was shown in their press conferences was at the end. And your big hit, your crushing blow, is always at the end of your press conference. It's the thing you want on everyone's minds and lips as they walk out and to the next affair.
But let me express that, having gone ever how many years, last year, and I can be corrected on this, but last year for Microsoft, Ubisoft, EA, maybe even Sony, I'd have to go back and look. No one's done the one more thing in a while.
That's right.
I didn't get it from Microsoft. I assume you guys didn't get it from EA this year. I could be wrong.
EA was very dry.
Yeah. Ubisoft, in years previous, their one more thing was a bunch of dancers came out and did something for the Michael Jackson experience. Last year, I think they just ended it. I don't think there was anything there. So there was no reason to expect that. So... And I was also in a timetable crunch too.
I had to
meet someone at Sony to get me in.
We should point out that, without talking about the game again, its very existence, the introduction, you did, I'm assuming, you watched what they had to show for Watch Dogs. Did you watch the 3-minute video that preceded it?
If I did... And I think
about the CTOS.
Yeah. I've watched that, but I did not watch the press conference at all. Okay. These were all YouTube videos where it was just the videos and there was no introduction or whatever, how it was presented at the thing. I didn't see any of that. I didn't get crowd reaction noise. I didn't get any of that stuff.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
It's funny though, because they, with nothing behind it, with no reason for it, they did the one more thing. And here's this thing. And they show a video, like it was about 3 minutes, very well produced, very intentional, and with a lot of tension in it, if that makes sense. You could understand that there was a narrative behind this video, but you couldn't tease it out. You couldn't quite figure what they were trying to say. And it was this minutes-long introduction before the gameplay.
Right.
That sort of painted a picture of the world. For a good 5 minutes, 10 minutes actually, the internet thought the name of the game was CTOS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, whatever we decide about this game, whatever it turns out to be, whatever else we learn, it felt wonderful to be presented with something I had no context for.
Yeah.
And we're starved of that. But I remember seeing that, and the first thing I did was I texted you because I thought you were watching it.
Yeah.
And
I was in a cab.
Right. And you texted me back and you're like, God, what is that? Is that some Yubi thing? I left after Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was thinking, fucking Scott, did you just go in there to see the one thing you wanted to see and then leave because you were bored?
No, not at all.
No, but it turns out you were making a dash.
Yeah.
To get into the Sony press conference. So yeah. you did have an honest excuse, but it's unfortunate because there was that moment where we had all just given up on seeing anything new.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you can add that to the list of reasons why I probably left as well. I mean,
because you had no reason to expect anything.
No, not from them. No. I mean, you figure they're neck deep in their Splinter Cell, they're neck deep in their Far Cry and their Assassin's Creed 3. How in the hell did they find time? And I believe this is also Montreal again.
It is Ubisoft Montreal.
The fuck?
As if they're not busy enough already.
That studio must be huge.
That studio is huge.
Yeah.
And to the point, they're probably one of the only people who can afford, in terms of manpower, to take a big risk like this, to invest in this kind of new IP. If we can set aside for a moment all of the reasons that we're supposed to hate them, right? The mantra I'm supposed to sing as a consumer, the drum you're supposed to beat as a reporter. If we can set that aside, they have an excellent portfolio. They have
do.
A lot of stuff that we all like.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
They really, really do. And if we can take some time out from complaining about their management of DRM or about deciding who we hate more at any given moment, EA or Ubisoft.
Yeah.
If we can set it aside, they may flog their IP.
Right.
But they make an effort to fund it, to develop it, to introduce it in the first place. And when I got over my shock that I was actually seeing genuine, new, undeniably core gamer IP, At the end of their press conference.
Surprisingly so, yeah.
It felt like the good old days for a moment. It felt like it felt the way it should. I'm heading out the door. They've thrown this amazing thing at me with no context that I just find fascinating, and I can't even put my finger on why. And then I'm off, I'm out, I'm away. And I'm settling in at Sony. Right? Because Sony's got an hour and a half of stuff to dazzle me with.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm in your shoes, I'm settling in at Sony thinking about what just happened to me back at Ubi.
Well, and let me tell you that, so I get to Sony, this and Ubisoft is not finished yet. I get to Sony and I met up with, you know, how I was going to get in and got in and, you know, everything was great. But everybody who came to me, Nick from Co-Optimus and a couple others or whoever came up and said, hey, I had my, because I couldn't leave it in the cab, I had my Ubisoft swag that they give you when you leave. Because as I was leaving, the lobby was just, you know, peppered here and there with staff people setting up the tables with all the swag they were giving out so that when people leave, they could take their stuff. And it was a really nice thing of Assassin's Creed Encyclopedia, big hardcover E3 edition, big nice thing. So I've got that in my hand. And so people that come up to me are like, oh, you came from the Ubi press conference. What's that Watch Dogs thing? Because everybody, apparently that just started making the rounds. And I was like, you know what? I don't know what it is. But apparently it's really new and fresh, and it's gotten people excited about it. So I meet up with some of the Naughty Dog folks, and I don't know if you want me to go into this just yet, but I meet up with some of the Naughty Dog folks, and I sit with them, and they ask the same thing. What's the Watch Dogs thing I keep hearing about? And I was like, dude, I don't know. I wasn't there. I had to leave so I could get here. I don't know. So the guy whips out his iPhone and heads to YouTube, and we're watching it on a 3G connection. Can't hear a damn thing of what's going on. We just make guesses about what's happening, but even they were impressed by what they were seeing, and just saying, that's got to be next gen. Look at that city. That city, that's next gen stuff. This can't be. And I said, I don't know. My guy back home who was watching it says they were using a PS3 controller, you know.
Which I was wrong about, by the way.
Well, whatever controller was being used,
they were playing it on a PC.
They were playing it on a PC.
Something you have to keep in mind, though, is that there were no announcements made about systems that it was on. They simply gave you the gameplay and said, okay, bye-bye now.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't say coming 2013. Mm-hmm. They didn't say for all current gen systems and PC.
Right.
They didn't say Wii U. We were just left with essentially no information. And again, I don't mean to say that it's without a doubt the most interesting game I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I just want to contextualize the reaction.
The nice surprise that, it's because that it was.
After a day, after a whole day of captive audience, of people who are devoted to spending their time and money on interesting, evocative experiences. We love to play games. We love the hype. Well, the excitement. We really like investing some of ourselves in what you have to offer. And it's 12 hours after the whole thing begins before anybody can honestly say, no, looking back, like one thing happened today that was unknown and new. But there was a time when that's what E3 was about. Every day was filled with big hits, filled with new announcements, filled with excitement. You don't realize how hungry you are for it until that one announcement late on the first day.
Right.
And that's the first thing that you see. So it's starting to paint a really good picture of what a bad time it is for attendees and what a bad job the show does at doing its job. But you did get to sit with Naughty Dog
a few of them. I think Justin Richmond, Amy Hennig, and I've got his card, Jason. I want to say his name was Jason, Bauer, I think was his last name, something like that. But I mean, I'd have to.
Because Neil and Bruce were the creative team for Last of Us, right?
So there are separate teams because when I saw the Last of Us thing, I was like, oh, you guys did a great job. And Justin's like, that ain't me, man. That's a completely different.
Right.
Yeah. There is
Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley.
Yes. There's apparently now. There's an Uncharted team, and there's a The Last of Us team.
Sure.
And those guys don't mix and mingle anymore, apparently. They don't, you know, I'm sure they could share little things, but there's a specific group working on one. Right. There's a specific group working on
They need their own resources. They need their own teams.
Yeah.
There's exactly. No way that they have Last of Us available at this level if they were still working on Uncharted this time of year ago. Yeah. They've obviously been doing their own thing for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Neil and Bruce, by the way, are the first one of our first interviews
that we
ever had.
That's right.
I was with some of the Naughty Dog folks while that was going on, while they did that. Now we can jump to that if you want to. We can start with the first thing you saw from Sony, or if you even want to go into that, which we don't have to.
I would only bring it up in the context of everything to say that it wasn't a surprise. It had been leaked.
Mm-hmm.
Days, maybe 2 days earlier. You know, I think it was maybe Sunday was the first time I heard something about it. Someone saying the Ellen Page Quantic Dream game.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that. I heard that we were probably going to see something from Quantic Dream, but that was only based on the whatever that video was called that was released earlier.
I don't think I know what you're talking about.
The Android video.
Oh, that the tech demo that they did.
Right. Yes, that was only.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the thing
based on their history, the thing that I leads heard us to believe that if they're making this, it's because they're moving towards some other product.
Right. That was the thing that I had heard, was that we'll probably hear from Quantic Dream's new game, I didn't know anything about it. It was just that based from the tech demo, we're probably going to get something from them announced at the show.
Sure.
Didn't know it was going to get kicked off. Didn't know we were actually going to see footage, you know, and everything else. So
I didn't either. All I knew was Quantic Dream, Ellen Page.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was her. So
I don't know if that was the right thing to do. I don't
either. I mean, I'll I didn't do a lot of commenting like I normally do when I'm sitting with group people and, you know, whatever, because you got industry folks sitting here and they work hard on their stuff. And
yes, they do.
I'm not going to sit there and shit on it in front of them. I'll totally do it behind their backs, but I'm not going to shit on it in front of them. I'm also not going to sit there and praise them in front of them either. I'm just not going to say anything. So 2 points. First was Ellen Page. I kind of wanted to lean over and be like, what does that say about your character that got compared to Ellen Page in your Last of Us thing? Because that should be a thing. Turns out it might be.
How is that true?
There's somebody wrote an article, I think it was Game Trailers has an article up, and I don't know if that was somebody's blog or if it was Game Trailers doing reporting, but they are concerned with the fact that when they first showed Last of Us, everyone compared that character to Ellen Page. Yeah, to Ellen Page. And now you've got a game that actually has Ellen Page in it.
And they led with that game and closed with Last of Us.
Right.
And it only, based on my observations and my own opinions, it sort of closed that comparison gap a little more. It didn't separate them.
No, it hasn't.
That you actually put Ellen Page in her own game at the beginning of the conference and then showed Ellie at the end. Did not close that gap.
No. And the other point I wanted to lean over and have a snarky comment about was the fact that David Cage, is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. He's up there saying how great it is to work with Ellen Page. Her acting is awesome. She really gives into this character.
I could not have brought whoever the character is.
To life without her. That's the thing. Her acting is, they just push this whole like, her acting's awesome. Let me show you a clip of her not acting at all.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. If you want to go into acting, who's the guy that was the police officer?
Sure.
They're your acting.
Look, when you're writing a game or a story of any kind, you should be writing with your character in mind and with all of the characters in mind. When you're writing a game, even a game that has a huge story, gameplay first. This is an old rule that a lot of people have forgotten. And I accused Quantic Dream of forgetting it when they made Heavy Rain. Your gameplay comes first. It must. This is a game. I know that sounds a little bit too explain it like I'm five, but come on, man. Get your shit together and make a game. And then build your story in such a way that the gameplay enhances it, or it enhances the gameplay, and that neither one necessarily has to suffer. And then find the people you want to work with. Find the best cast. Find the individuals who are going to work best with the story that works to enhance the gameplay.
Because if your gameplay and story work, then it usually won't matter.
Right.
That you had her or not. But if she's the reason that it's making it the way it is.
And I don't even believe that's true.
And I don't. I think that's just.
And I'm not trying to say that it'll be horrible. I'm not trying to say that Ellen Page is horrible. I'm not saying this was all her idea.
Right.
I'm not trying to hate her. I'm trying to say that she is an actor playing a part that's designed to enhance a game. She is replaceable. She is a tool.
Well, as well, and maybe you intend to say this at the same time when you say that they're shouting to the back to the investors. I think also doing that is shouting to the mainstream press. Because
don't be afraid to pick up this story because Ellen Page.
Exactly. You can write about someone you know in something being involved in something you don't.
This whole thing really is building to something else, which is to describe how each of these people used their time to communicate the message.
Mm-hmm.
They had something they wanted to say. And the Quantic Dream demonstration was of this type, and I thought the Naughty Dog Last of Us demonstration was of an entirely different type. I think one is good, and I think one is bad. Based on everything I've seen, from the brief gameplay segment all the way through to the closed-door presentations, the Q&A sessions, the panel with the actors, all of that stuff, that, I believe, is the best way to handle yourself, present yourself in your game at E3. There's a reason the two of those things were so punchy. There's a reason they felt so good and why everybody was reacting the way they were.
I would also go as far as to say that whatever, and I don't know who chooses these things. I don't know if it's developer or if it's publisher or if it's, and I don't know how to say who that is my example is this, everything we had seen from Assassin's Creed, we know what Assassin's Creed is. It is you walking in the trees or walking, whatever. It's what Assassin's Creed is. However, Ubi, Sony, somebody decided to say that for our presentation, we want to show something you have never seen before in an Assassin's Creed game. Something that isn't even Assassin's Creed-y. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so they showed that. And I don't know whose decision that was. But that would also go to a presentation where it's like, this is new. This is something you've never seen before, even though it isn't a game that is not an original IP or anything like that. Here's a new way that here's something new we've added to this.
Ubisoft's demonstration of Assassin's Creed. I look forward to playing it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to play Assassin's Creed. They didn't show me anything. Not that I haven't seen. Obviously, I hadn't seen any of that. But when we got a good picture of where it was taking place, we take everything we know about how Assassin's Creed works. We lay it in on, we sort of superimpose it on the setting. And then when you finally see the gameplay, you think, yeah, this is actually
exactly
what I imagined. Yeah. It's fine. I'm interested. But it's exactly what I imagined. And I'm fine with that. But then you see Assassin Sees.
Yes.
And
as it became known to everyone.
Yeah. and then I sit forward in my seat.
Yeah.
And then I have an E3 moment. And again, another good example. This is good communication. Not that what was happening with AC3 and the UB presentation was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But this is good. These are the reasons we hold E3. They're too far and too far between. Too far.
Yeah.
But this is a moment. It's a moment where everyone's eyes get a little bit bigger, where the curiosity sort of they get energized a little bit and they engage their curiosity. What is this thing that you have here? I see that you are claiming this is Assassin's Creed, but this is not Assassin's Creed.
Because it was full on. It could have just left with the, you're going to be in a ship and you get projectiles to shoot and blow up other ships. But no. You can actually board the other ships.
I thought it was a little strange that they didn't show that, because that's the point at which traditional Assassin's Creed gameplay seems like it would make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were able to make it, that they were able to translate it to, you know, a couple of, like, what, fourth-rate frigates or ship-rigged sloops or brigs or whatever they were. I mean, I didn't even get a very good look at what they were supposed to be, but and you have to know, like, you know, as an individual, that's very much up my alley.
Oh, of course. You didn't think I was thinking of you the entire time watching that. Of course.
I thought, like that.
I thought, man, he's either going to really love this or there's going to be something he's seeing in this that is just all wrong.
It was wrong. Don't misunderstand. It was wrong. There's no way to do it. You would have to concentrate very hard to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
But they struck a really good balance. Like, it's total bullshit exactly what happened. But it was bullshit in all the right ways, man.
Yeah.
It felt very good. And I'm able to recognize that. I'm not the sort of guy who's, you know, read 40 or 50 historical Age of Sail novels.
Mm-hmm.
And then looks at this game and says, well, blah, blah, you know, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm fine with it. Because I know what it is. It's okay. It's okay. I would not mind if somebody took this idea and ran with it. And I mean ran from here to the end of the world with it.
Right.
And made a whole game about that. Not just a whole game about boats, but I'm sorry, with some moderate tweaking, you could take what I think I saw there and you could do Master and Commander.
Mm-hmm.
Or something very close to it.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Again, another point is that I thought that was an instance of very good communication.
But that was day one, or at least
right.
That was your first. bit of E3.
I think we're getting off of our plan here a little bit, but I think Nintendo was precisely what you think of when you think Nintendo.
Yeah, and you're going into day two now, Tuesday, for that one, and that was another press conference that starts at 9, registration that starts at 7. So that was another long day for me, getting up and getting there and then sitting down and just waiting for the show to start. And then it starts and you get what you got. I did not see whatever it was they did the previous, like on Sunday.
Yeah.
I did not see that. And I actually didn't hear much of whatever that was. I'd heard someone, I think, suggest that, well, they're getting all this out of the way so that they can talk more about whatever on Tuesday, which I think was the plan, was that we're getting this out of the way so we can talk about our games for Tuesday. And it is what it was, and, you know. And that led us into, E3 proper. The show is done for basically everyone at home, and now it's up to the reporters, as we're calling them, right, to do their job on the floor.
That's an important point then in the middle of the show. That's an important point in the show. That's when your job really should start.
It does, yeah.
And
there is no significance in reporting these press conferences because everybody can watch them and see
what's
going on.
There was less significance in reporting them because I can watch them better than you can.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing you can tell me. Again, unless you put your hands on it,
mm-hmm,
or unless you have face-to-face conversational time with a developer, not with a PR representative. I've spoken to plenty of those people in the past, back when I would attend E3 without a press pass.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell me the same thing that they told the guy before me. Even if I were to come up with an insightful question, they're not going to give me an answer. They don't know the answer. They're no much better than a booth babe.
I will say this, and I'm not going to tell you who it was with, the PR company, the game, or anything like that. I spoke with a developer about the game that he was working on. And he looked around before he started talking and really gave me an honest opinion of things. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be showing his game. His game's not ready.
Right.
But he's being pushed by the marketing side of things. Not necessarily, well, I guess the publisher, but the publisher's marketing agents,
sure,
company. He said they wanted to show this. This is what they wanted us to show. It is not ready. It is not finished. I hate that I'm showing this to you. Also, they just flew me out here. I'm jet lagged. I'm really tired. I'm very sorry. This is not what we want to show. But I'll take you through it anyway. You know, he's just really honest to that. It's going to be very hard to kind of write about the game because the game was very buggy and very ugly to look at. And their game releases very soon. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, but
important as a matter of fact. E3 happens at the same time for everyone,
mm-hmm,
but production schedules don't move at the same rate for everyone.
No, they don't.
I'm sympathetic to the reasons people don't like E3. I am. But I don't believe the accusation that it's E3's fault is fair. But I think that's the end game of our conversation here. We can get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, that's fine.
Unless maybe it's just how I've interpreted things this year. But my guess is that you probably did have a better time on the show floor.
I did. Yeah, that's a tough one. I thought I was going to have a lot more time to spend on the show floor, when in reality that didn't happen. I mean, it did, but I was going through and the first day there, I have access to the upper meeting rooms. I can't just walk into the meeting rooms because there's check-in desks right there for you to check in if you're press. But I could walk at least that far into a meeting room and say, hey, I don't have an appointment with you guys, but if you guys got time to show me something, I'd love to see it, that sort of thing. So it was kind of trying to make up meetings on the fly. And I was able to do that with a few. During the spare time, I hit the show floor so I could grab pictures of everything because I knew I was the only one there from Calling It Gamers. to do any of that and to show them, here's what the show floor looks like, here's all the games that you can see and everything else. Wait times in line for things were hours. There was no way I was going to get to touch any Nintendo stuff, if you wanted me to or not. Some of the games that I got asked to play weren't actually on the show floor. They were upstairs in meeting rooms, but you had to have an appointment to play them, so they weren't on the show floor. Then there was the sense of, well, what's important for me to play that's here? Sony had God of War Ascension playable, but it's God of War. You know how that plays. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know that there's a desire for that. They had PlayStation All-Stars playable, but I wasn't sure how in demand that was. Nintendo, of course, I couldn't get into anything to play over there. Wargaming.net had a huge booth of World of Tanks, World of Battleships, World of whatever. World of Warplanes, I think, was the other one. I didn't know how much feedback you'd get from me playing those, since I've never played them before, and there's a lot to go on with that. And they were running a tournament anyway. So I didn't have much time, didn't have an appointment with them either. Most of their games released already have been played, and are available to play right now if you wanted to. So I wasn't sure the importance of those. For me, it was just like, what do I have time to play, and what's going to be important for me to play? And there wasn't much that I could find on the show floor that gave that off. Hitman was playable, but Hitman is Hitman again. I don't know, is that something important? Plus, I had an appointment with them anyway to see it, you know, to see how that worked. I'm trying to think of what else was on that show floor that was playable that I think Forza may have been. I'm not sure. A bunch of the arcade type games, the Xbox Live arcade type games, there was a bunch of those on the show floor that was playable. But again, it was more of a, I don't know where to start to even do any of this stuff. So I'll stick to what I've got listed here that I'm going to be able to play. Darksiders 2 was not down on the floor, but it was upstairs, and I was able to play that. PlanetSide 2 was available to play, and I got a chance to play that. So I'd have to go through and see here. Sniper Ghost Warrior 2 was not on the floor, but I got to play that. What else do I have here? Need for Speed Most Wanted was on the show floor, and I got to play that. Hawken was spread around. Some people played it, but I did get to play that. So I don't know. Maybe I did hit some of the important ones.
This is basically what I was trying to say, is that talking with you, keeping like an eye on your itinerary, what I expected it to be, talking to you through text, and then comparing that to what I was seeing produced through the normal gaming blogs and the news sites, I figured that outside of the rushing to and fro, outside of the scheduling problems, which are always real, that there was some sense that you were probably getting your hands on things that mattered a little bit more.
Yeah. Everyone needs to understand that walking up to a company, especially the big ones, like Activision or Square or anything like that, walking up to a company like that and saying, I'm with Colony of Gamers, can I see anything? That holds no weight whatsoever. They don't care. Walking up and saying, I'm with name any website off the top of your head that you check regularly for gaming news.
Right,
carries so much more weight than that.
GameSpot, IGN.
Yeah, and I'll go in so far. Nick from Co-Optimus brought this up as well, because we kept going back and forth about, like, how come I was the only one that got accepted? Well, I know why I was the only one that got accepted, because I told him we were broadcast media, not podcast media. Even though that's a lie. But we were at one time broadcast. And if they want to background check me, I've got the credentials to back it up and say that, no, yeah, look, I work for this radio station. That's fine. But nobody from Colony of Gamers got in, whereas like four or five of us got in last year based on just being from COG. But nobody this year. Yet we were seeing people walking around with their little badge tags saying who they were from. And it was, you know, like, I apologize if anybody's name is Jason Smith, but we'll just take that for an example. It was Jason Smith from jasonsmith.com.
Huh.
You know? How do you get into the? How do you get into E3 and these guys from you know, our little site don't get in? Which I'm sure they were looking at my badge thinking, who the hell are you? But still, that just kind of, really the name of your site that you put gaming news is the name of yourself, dot whatever. It's your Tumblr, it's your blog. And you got in, but, you know, this site dedicated to these sort of things doesn't. I couldn't understand how that happened. And I don't know the whole story behind how jasonsmith.com got into the E3, so maybe there's something else to it, but that baffled me a little bit. And I really wish we could have had more people in. But anyway, that's my point is that no one cared about me being on that show floor, the PR people. The ones that got in touch with me beforehand, the ones that I had reached out to try to get in beforehand, are great people, and I can't thank them enough for letting me in. Most of the ones I got were based on the fact that I had previous relationships with them. Naughty Dog for one of them. Zen Studios is another one who makes the pinball stuff. I had met the guy behind that whole thing last year at E3 and had kept in touch. And that's how I could get some of that stuff. The rest of it came by either me reaching out or just getting an email to find some time. So, which you know, I'm pretty happy with how that turned out. But I enjoyed, honestly, I enjoyed this year's E3. I did. So, but anyway, I want to start with Tuesday, being on the floor.
Well, rather than actually step through all of your experiences,
you could pick and choose, that's fine.
I do want to pick and choose.
Yeah.
I feel like this happens every year, but there's a huge discussion right now about how horrible this year's E3 was. That it was just terrible. That nothing but crap was shown. And that it's a waste of money and resources. The fans don't like it. The media doesn't like it. And I believe that there are an awful lot of people like your unnamed source that don't like it. So, of course, right? The show's terrible. It's absolutely useless. It's a waste of our time. Clearly, because a whole bunch of people don't like it.
Yeah.
But I can't help but think, I thought it was okay. I didn't see a whole lot of really great shit. As a matter of fact, I felt like the parts of it that I was privy to were the worst parts. I got some Watch Dogs and Last of Us. I got Assassin's Seas, you know, mm-hmm. I got this. But for the rest of it, the things that I could see better than you were not worth seeing. So my suspicion is that the show is actually still worth something. E3 is still worth something and still important. We tried to kill E3 5 years ago and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, two separate years, 2007, 2008?
I believe it was, yeah.
Where they said, no, it's over the top. Nobody's really getting anything out of it. It's not worth the spend. There's no return on it. The fans aren't really appreciative of what they perceive to be absurd hype.
I'll tell you, I went to the 2008 one. That was my first one. I had a better experience because we got to sit down with developers one-on-one. Time management was so much better. There was no show floor. Oh, let me tell you, there was a show floor, but it was akin to a high school science fair. It was very, very sparse. It was nothing like what it is now. And so, yeah, they've done away with the more intimate setting and made it a very barrage of the senses type of lights, lasers, boobs, babes, music, DJs, for fuck's sake.
To assume that an assault on the senses isn't good is bad. We need it. I have to back that point up with an awful lot of discussion, and I'm not really interested in doing that right now.
Right.
But I am telling you that spectacle is necessary.
It is.
If it wasn't, the show never would have come back.
No.
from that thing, from what you saw your first year. But that was the first year I realized how big a disconnect there is. And I remember telling you this at the time. I don't give a shit that your life is hard at E3. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I only care as a consumer that I hear and see things that help me better understand what's being made, what things that are being made might be for me, and when I can expect to see things and what I expect it to be when it gets here. And the press really loved the 2007-2008 changes, but I don't care. It was sort of a dismal time for information and for spectacle. And even in an intimate moment, even playing Limbo or Words with Friends, even something very small in video gaming is spectacle. Because it's absurd. This is absurd what we're doing, Scott. Everything we do when we play a game is living out a fantasy. It's exploring all the dark corners of our psyche. It's some kind of weird brain porn. Everything we do is outlandish and ridiculous. The very fact that we take it so goddamn seriously sometimes is just dumb, man. So we should recognize that the very act of being fans of gaming requires that we surrender to a little bit of hype and a little bit of spectacle.
Yeah.
And at least once every so often, a fuck ton of hype and spectacle. And that's what that's what E3 has always done. I think the problem now is that there's a lot of confusion, and I don't know exactly what the answer is. I like to think that if we just, not necessarily did away with the conferences, but if you weren't rushed to do everything that you want to do on the show floor in a day and a half or 2.5 days, what if Monday through Friday was all of the things that you try to cram in between Tuesday evening and Thursday afternoon? Because that's really your problem, at least with a lot of it, is your time management. Not that E3 sucks, but time management. That's a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
For you.
Well, a lot of people have suggested that they need to move the show. The LA Convention Center is set up so that one half is this, and the other half, which is a good ways between each other, is the other thing. And when you've got that many people together, it even makes it harder to get from one hall to the other hall.
Which is to say nothing of the fact that, returning to something we said earlier, you can't just go back to your hotel a lot of times. Your hotel most likely being pretty far from the convention center.
Yeah, oh God, yes.
So you can't just revert back to that. I still think Las Vegas would be a great place.
Well, I mean, everybody's got their suggestions, but the convention centers in Las Vegas and in San Diego could put E3 in one, or could put it in one place.
One place.
One room.
Much closer to a hotel.
Yeah, one room.
If not in the basement of a hotel.
Yeah, one room could have your South Hall and your West Hall all in one room. Getting from point to point would not be the hassle that it would be like it is now. Meetings could be... My last day of meetings was on Thursday, and some miracle of chance put them all in the same place, same hall. When I was done with Konami, I just had to go over to Activision, which was in the same place. It didn't take me, 5 minutes less than that to get over there. So I wasn't rushed on my last day to get to places. But, that's... Who knows how they're going to do that? And it could change. Not sure.
I think it needs to change.
I think it does. Well, I mean, there's people who argue for the fact that, boy, I hope they don't move it because LA works for me, that sort of thing. And I really hope that... I don't necessarily hope that they move it. I just hope that something forces them to have to consider changing this. I want something to get in their way.
The last time that happened, we wound up with the way the show works in 2007 and 2008.
Well, that was more of a complaint from the people putting the money into it, was that, we're spending all this
money. But it wasn't just a complaint from them. It was a complaint from them, but it was a corroboration by all the people they commiserate with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to talk about your human experience. I mean, how many videos of Hawking have we seen without being played? And we finally got a chance to play it.
Yeah.
Turns out to be, awesome sauce. It's wonderful. But you wouldn't have that without the human experience. You
which actually,
have,
yeah.
You just have more video.
Look, Hawken and PlanetSide are why we still send people to E3. I made a surprised face the very first time I saw Hawken a year ago.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I know I want to be a part of that. I can sense that someone gives a shit mm-hmm. about what they're doing. I can sense something really kind of complete and careful in the design, and I really want to know more. And every little bit that they would show, whether it was a screenshot or a gameplay video, made me more interested and not less. And so for E3 to roll around the first time and for there to actually be an opportunity for a guy, for a man, or a woman, or whatever, for a person to walk into a room or walk up to a kiosk and put their hands on it and get even minutes of gameplay, that's important. It's not AAA. It's not even big enough for most people to recognize its existence.
I'd have to say it is now, but yeah.
It's bigger than its reporting at the moment,
yeah.
If that makes any sense. There are certain people, Rock, Paper, Shotgun in particular, who I'm actually sort of ashamed that they haven't had a word to say about it.
They're the ones that I kept getting my videos from. They're the ones who kept telling me on the progress.
They generated a lot of excitement for it. It's right up their alley. It's exactly their thing. It's a small independent studio that's using a modern free-to-play method for delivery and support. It's PC only.
Mm-hmm.
Please talk about it. Here's your opportunity. Never mind. You're complaining about what a fucking waste the rest of the show is. I know it's not the whole world, but I'm a little surprised because there are moments, despite everything else we want to feel about E3, there are still E3 moments happening in the show, and they're underreported, underrepresented, and they're certainly not recognized for being what they are. And if we're going to talk about what a travesty the rest of the week is, we can at least point out the parts that work. Just like anything else, just like bitching about EA, I still think it's important to talk about how good Mirror's Edge is. I'm not willing to condemn the entire scenario just because someone's got a bug up their ass, or they had to travel halfway around the world, or all the way across the country, or something else. I don't know. I'm tired of the discussion of how bad the show as a whole is. We all still tune in.
Mm-hmm. Well, while you were going over that, I wanted to look through my list of notes that I had made. I can't remember how many games I was able to see, but 9 of them are PC titles. Not exclusively PC. There are some within that 9 sure. that are. But 9 of them have a PC release. Yeah. And you were talking about
it's
RPS's coverage.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they didn't. I don't mean to say they entirely dropped the ball.
But if they're saying that this game is not there, that this show is not for us.
I don't believe they mean to say that in terms of PC gamers. What I'm saying is there is the takeaway from this convention is that the convention is a waste of time and mm-hmm. effort. And I think that message is a little confused. About, I merely wanted to say that of all the things in the world, of all the stories I was actually looking forward to coming out of E3, I really wanted to see, after your statements and after, I want to say it was Mike Fahey from Kotaku. Could have been someone else. But someone from Kotaku got their hands on to Hawken as well and thought it was incredible. They thought it was really, really good. That makes me very happy because it's a game I've only seen in screenshots and video for a year. And now some human somewhere, some actual person, is getting a chance to play it and offer me the human experience that E3 exists for in the first place.
Yeah.
And I hear this from what? You, Kotaku, and this one guy on Reddit? And that's it? Endless reporting about what a fiasco the Microsoft press conference is, and how the whole show would be much better if it was essentially about the human experience. I'm paraphrasing, but mm-hmm. that's the bitching. The bitching is about what a horrible job they've done making the show entirely about the stuff I don't care about. Let me busy myself not actually spending time on the things that I supposedly care about.
Which
maybe that's a bit much for me.
Which is honestly them becoming the thing that they hate.
I see that happening.
They complain that Microsoft isn't focusing on the games and that they're focusing on whatever, that their thing was shit. So instead of our reporting on the games that are there, we're going to focus on... Again, they're also diverging themselves away from what they're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to complain about the show. Just complain about the games that you're seeing if you want to. Report on the game and say that this game is not good enough. I didn't like what I played. That's a fine complaint. But complaining about the overall E3-ness of things, or whatever the case may be, is doing your readers an injustice. Let them make up their own mind about E3. You just tell me about the games. Same to you, Microsoft. Let me make up my own mind, about your... I don't know. Again, they're talking to three different people, and sometimes they're just not talking to you directly, but I want more about your games. I don't want to know about your apps. I want to know more about your games, your gaming system, and what you've got. And just show me the games. Quit showing me this other stuff. You can tell me about it, but just...
I simply feel like if you came away from the show and you couldn't find anything in it, or you somehow couldn't find enough, then you weren't paying attention. As an attendee.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a consumer and you didn't find enough, you have yourself to blame. I'm not there. I haven't been there since 99. It's been a really, really long time since I attended a show.
Invitation's open.
So. I know. Maybe I'll take you up on it.
Next year would be an interesting year to go.
Maybe I'll put my time and money where my mouth is, and that's perfectly fine. But I don't know Microsoft, so I can't speak for them. I haven't been myself in years, and I won't speak on your behalf. What I can say is, as a person who sits at home, the fans, I don't know what you want to call us, the appreciators, whoever the hell we are, we're responsible for managing our own expectations. That doesn't mean you arm yourself with cynicism.
No, yeah. Good point.
Skepticism, fine.
Somebody else brought up that point. Even a developer brought up that point.
Whoever it was right. Because that's the behavior that we've adopted. Right? But it's our job. Look with your eyes, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's our job to look at what's presented to us and take it more or less as it was intended. It's our job to pay attention to what we're being shown. Understand what you're... Look at what you see. Don't give so much consideration to what you want. And don't make any effort to fill in the gaps. Yourself, don't do that.
And any, as you called it, reporters.
Sure.
Any good reporter is supposed to do exactly that. I didn't take journalism class. I don't know. But as far as from what I can gleam from just, you know, reading on the history of things, is you're not there to give opinion.
You're there to be a good witness.
You're there to report what you see, not what you think you see.
Yes.
Or not what you think things are, just what they are in front of you right there. Then the reader takes it upon themselves to interpret. That's your job as a journalist. It is not your job to say, you know, I think they're going in the wrong direction, and this is what I would do. Fuck, oh God, no.
But you're absolutely right. But I think that it's just as important for our own sake, not for the sake of professionalism or to obey the charter of our organization or anything like that, but as people who are interested in a thing. I think we do ourselves a disservice. It's just as important that we be good witnesses as well. Resist the urge to make assumptions. These are things that are extremely important. In the time that it took, in the 2 days before any clarification happened about Watch Dogs, you could see people, the 2 minutes, for Christ's sake, after the thing had been released onto the internet, people were just out of their minds about everything it meant. And I was floored by how people had already moved through, apparently, the entire grief process.
Yeah, right. They had all
by the time you reached the Sony conference, the internet was already over that game. They already hated it for jerking them around.
Yep, I would imagine so. Yeah, I would imagine so.
Look, I do have to reiterate that I think the majority of what we're shown is a lie. But that doesn't mean it's malicious. It might be. You know damn well that a lot of it is malicious. I say that a lot, but it could be a lie of omission. It could be a lie of convenience. It could be something that people absolutely can't help but do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily privy to everything that you want to know. And there's really no reason to condemn the entire process, this entire relationship of mismanaged expectations. There's no reason to make it their fault entirely, the presenters. There's no reason to blame you, even when you're not doing your job, you being the reporters.
Yeah.
Everyone has a part to play in this. And when you're just absorbing the media that's coming directly from the people holding the show, fine, man, get in touch with your own bias, right? You're going to have an opinion about whatever publisher is dispensing the information or producing it, whatever outlet is dispensing it. You're going to have an emotional reaction about something, about just about anything, whether it's a developer or a platform or a genre, a series, a franchise, any of it. It's okay. Emotional reactions are gaming stock in trade. And it's the whole reason we're into it in the first place. But it's important to understand that part of it is you. Does that make any sense? That I don't like what they showed. They made me mad. I didn't get to see what I wanted to see. Where the hell is The Last Guardian? I don't know. Fuck Sony. That's a little ridiculous, but it's not uncommon.
No, I was going to say.
You know that's out there.
It's not far from the point, yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like, I think we have... I don't know how else to say it. I think we've abandoned our responsibility. I think we have blamed... We have laid every bit of blame we can on the people organized the show and the producers who put together their presentations, that it's all their fault. And I think that it is partly their fault. Microsoft paid attention only to their... to Kinect and... What is their...
Smart Glass.
Smart Glass, right? Smart Glass because they're greedy. You know, because that's it. Because really, Ubisoft has DRM because they're greedy. Activision only makes Call of Duty because they're greedy. And that's it. They're just greedy. Money-grubbing, lazy developers, greedy publishers. Fine. They're greedy, we're covetous.
Yeah.
And it's not even a bad fucking truth, but it's true. The rate at which we consume everything they're willing to make is embarrassing at some level. And, well, no, more so the rate at which we demand that they make something better. Dance for me. Tell me a story. Mm-hmm. Give me more. Right? They may be some sort of ridiculous caricature of a 19th century robber baron in everybody's mind, right? But we're a bunch of serfs stamping around screaming for bread and circuses, you know? We're very covetous people. If they're avarice, we're gluttony. How absurd is it? How absurd is it that I sat at home, half drunk out of beer, with my feet up on my table, watching an HD live stream of video games. And then what's my first thought? I wasn't quite entertained enough. I'm essentially going to join a chorus of angry people. One of the happiest fucking texts I got over the entire time was that you really like talking. There's no way to tell whether it's worth a shit. But, hey man, the guys were there. They brought their game. You had a chance to put your hands on it. And who did? Almost no one, from what I can tell.
Actually, I think a lot of people did. I just don't think people are talking about it for some reason. The first time I got to put my hands on it was at a party at the hotel.
They weren't
officially on the show floor.
I thought they were at first, but I saw some video later that they had on their site that was about their setup at the hotel.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, this actually wasn't even...
No, it wasn't.
Just right over there in a corner of the show floor.
Luckily enough, it was not at my hotel either. Luckily enough, Nick from Co-Optimus was at the hotel they were at. So I was just walking with them because it was easier to go back to their room than it was to go back to my own, you know, and sit down, rest, and just, you know, get ready for doing whatever. And I just happened to run into one of the guys who had a Hawkins shirt on outside their hotel, standing with two of their PR people. I didn't know that they were their PR people. I just saw a guy in a Hawkins shirt. And I interrupted him, and I said, I'm sorry, are you with Hawkins? He said, yes. I was like, I just want to congratulate you, you know, and tell you that I'm really looking forward to your game. I really hope to get some hands-on with it. And are you guys on the show? And they said, no. That's how I got the whole introduction and invitation to go check out their game at this party. And so when I got to their party, I sat down and played their game. And their party was packed with people. Even with non-people, Will Wheaton stopped by, and Felicia Day stopped by, and, you know, they're people too, but...
Well, they are people. They're... whatever, that's for another... That's
yes, for another I know. That's for something completely different. But still, there were a ton of people there. Just a lot of people at this party. And they had...
I saw some pictures of their party. I was like, man, people are like drinking beer and playing a fun game. Yeah, like, come on, man, that's all I ever want to do.
Open bar too.
Just a good bar in a game that isn't out yet. Like that's like a two line summation of heaven for me. It really is.
You and I would have had our own stations just sitting there. But they had 20 PCs running the game there. So 10 people, because it was 5-on-5. So 10 people could play on one side of the room, and then the other 10 were playing at the other side or whatever. So there were 20 opportunities for you to play it at least once. And I got to play it three times. Three good sessions from start to end. Maybe three and a half. I think I jumped into somebody else's session, but yeah. So I got to play it and I loved it. And everybody I talked to at the party loved it, although they're at a party, so they're probably not going to say they hate it. They don't want other people over here or something. Maybe they'll give their opinion later, but I swear I haven't come across a negative word about that game at all.
I haven't either. I just haven't come across
enough.
Very many words.
Right. About it. Yeah. And I don't know why that is. There were plenty of people there. There had to have been plenty of press there, so I'm not exactly sure why that is. But maybe people will hear this episode and correct us and start sending us links about it, but whatever the case. Or we'll find them in between now and the next show. I mean, you haven't seen it. I haven't posted any of anything.
Sure. Maybe it's on page 5 of someone else's notebook.
Right. My stuff's going up until this week.
My point is, many words have been written about E3 so far. And I have found in my own observation, my own watching of videos and stuff, that there was more than enough good stuff to be said. There are more than enough reasons to be optimistic. There's a load of shit. I think the show is imbalanced. I think that if Microsoft and Nintendo and Sony are going to spend a minimum of half of their conferences talking to investors, then they don't need to be talking to me. Don't mix your messages, okay? Find a place and time to talk to them.
Yeah.
If you want to...
Here's our investor showcase. Here's right. our Here's our media briefing.
And I get what you're doing. Right, yeah. You have everyone's attention, and you want to present a fortifying outlook for anyone who may have questions about this industry, about your investment. You've got stock to worry about. And that this is a good point. Yeah, okay, these guys might be greedy. But worse than that, they're afraid. Something that people don't really like to pay attention to is how dangerous this business is. And our expectations are way out ahead of what they're actually able to provide. But our understanding, like our real knowledge of how it works, is years and years behind what it does. You know, we all think it's very simple. But you're even a company with deep pockets who has a stock price that performs well and tons of cash on hand. Even a company like that has investors, has real human beings, has a lot of people who are risk averse. There are real men and women out there footing the bill every time even the largest company in the world decides to take a chance. And us, gamers, we're fickle as hell, mm-hmm. and we're a moving target. They can't ever be sure that they're going to hit us. And look what happens when you spend real money and you miss. You can't, it's entirely possible for that to happen and for you to not get back up again. There's a reason they behave the way they do. And it isn't because of greed. It isn't. I'll stipulate greed because that apparently makes it easier to talk to people. But it's not what really motivates them. It's fear. They are people. They have stock to service. They have investors to report to. They have headlines that they're concerned with. And yes, they want to make their money. But they have to manage fear as well.
Well, to take that point once again and go back to Hawking with it.
Well, yeah, that...
They were nervous as hell about showing.
Of course they were. To say skin in the game doesn't even begin to cover it. So all of this stuff, all of the lies, all of the greed, all of the... Why you're playing something at an appointment date with some goon breathing heavy over your shoulder.
Or why you're not even playing it.
Or why you're not playing it. It's all a fear thing. And most of that fear is well-founded. Right?
Yeah.
It's institutional fear in the case of the big developers. In the case of the guys at Adhesive, it's honest little fish in a big pond fear.
Yeah, really.
What is it? Are they still 9 guys?
I'd have to find out. I'm not sure, but you're right. Yeah, they were just
these guys. These guys have these
and honest, I'll be honest with you. If I judge by the party that I was at, where the developers were on hand, or at least hopefully all of them, maybe all of them, I would say that yeah, they're probably still at about 9 because there.
I think that was the number, but it was a very small group of guys.
There weren't that many in Hawking shirts at that party.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But anyway, that's sort of my point, and I only say it in hopes that. If we can think about it like that, we can understand a little more why it happens. The more we turn things into caricatures of something that doesn't even exist, the more likely we are to somewhere down the road lash out at E3 for not entertaining us enough.
Yeah.
You know, E3 will never figure out exactly what we want all the time. The gaming industry won't be able to do it. And I don't know. I don't necessarily know that could be fixed, but it also seems like it's something that where sending a man to E3, you know, shipping our Scott out to Los Angeles for a week,
mm-hmm.
that's a good reason. That's something good that came of it. And had I been the person shipped out there, I would be glad of it.
Yeah,
and the other example was PlanetSide.
Right, there was a lot of, like I said, I really enjoyed the C3, and I think it comes down because of the games that I played and the games that I was able to see and have a little bit more of a hope for that I'm going to have fun this year, or as the case with some things, I'm going to have fun next year.
There was plenty of next year.
Yeah, there was. I mean, I saw Tomb Raider. That's next year. Well, Last of Us, that's not this year. That's next year. SimCity is next year. Let's see, what else did I see that was next? Well, PlanetSide 2, we really don't know where that's going to be.
PlanetSide, no, we do know. Oh, PlanetSide 2 is this year.
Oh, it is this year. Okay, wonderful.
And if I can take a moment and talk about why I think that was such a big deal, you realize that was the first time that PlanetSide 2 has been shown playing with a significant number of people. Previous to this, in the studio alpha, they haven't really been able to pull anything together like this. They showed, I believe, a fairly dense amount of gameplay at GDC. But even then, it was just, I think, developers. This was the first time that anyone outside of those very close to the studio were able to play it. And it was the first time they were able to play the game with any significant numbers. Even though significant numbers at E3 is insignificant compared to what the game will actually be when it comes out. Yeah. But that was good. That was another instance where hands on the game made a difference. And it could only happen there. That's important.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you did that. I'm very glad you did that, as a matter of fact. But I'm
glad I liked it.
I am too, because what you were shown isn't at all how it will work. All they wanted to do was get you in the game and get you familiar with the fact that there's a bunch of different guys with a bunch of different abilities. There's vehicles that fly, there's tanks, there's heavy armor, there's light armor, there's cloaking, there's engineers, there's turrets, there's base capturing. But the way that they organized it around this one little base in this one very small piece of terrain.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way.
You had told me, because I had called you before I went over there, because I said, what do I need to do? Right. You said, just get your hands on the game, get into a fight with a bunch of people, go to where the group is. And so I got into vehicles, but then I realized that I didn't need to get into... There was no point for... I tried to fly and I couldn't. I don't know. I just could not fly. There's some skill required to really do that, or I was doing the wrong buttons and whatever. You don't really have enough time to sit there and
learn.
Yeah, you don't. And try to figure things out. So I grabbed the ATV, and honestly, to get into battle was just a quick little hop.
Right.
I wasn't on that thing for a minute. 60 seconds at most just to get over there. So there was really...
They created a dedicated spawn point for each of the three factions that was
very close,
just outside of the combat zone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how it works.
Right, exactly. I figured that, and you have to figure that, because in vehicle selection, outside of tanks and ATVs, there's troop transports.
Yes,
you know, both four wheeled troop transports, which are huge to carry a bunch of people, and then of course the Galaxy, which carries a bunch of people as well.
Which is the dropship.
Yeah, which carries a bunch of troops also. So you gotta think that this is not the scale you're going to be playing on, and by far was not the scale, because, I mean, you know, they told us you're going to be playing with thousands of people. And so I was probably in a room with maybe 16.
Yeah, I was going to say 12 to 20, I think, is what I picked up from the stream.
Yeah, I mean, it was low.
And they had a lot of people back at their San Diego studio. That's where the Sony guys were.
Oh, okay.
It was fun listening to the stream, because the Sony guys were trying to sort of... They were making an effort to herd cats.
Yeah, I know.
Tell me how you feel about
that. Man, it was really tough, because a lot of the... To start out, I spent about an hour playing. And to start out... you know, I get there and I'd try to figure out where to go. I'd get into combat, and there's three different factions playing. But that didn't matter. Everybody just felt like it was deathmatch.
And it was.
Well, it was team kills, you know?
Yeah.
It was my own guy shooting at me.
They didn't care.
They just saw another person and was like, I must kill that person. This is what this is. Deathmatch, blah, blah, blah. You know, but that wasn't the case. And after a short while, it became very apparent that either things had changed and people understood what was going on, or some players who actually knew what they were doing had jumped on, because then we started working together as a team. And once we'd captured, we started to defend. you know, placing our turrets, placing the traps, doing our thing, and then moving on to the next objective and taking it and doing, you know, doing the base capture stuff. So it started to, it really started to come together. And I really had a great, oh God, I had a wonderful time with it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. So had a lot of fun with that game. I only played the one class, so I didn't get the, the one faction.
What faction did you play?
New Conglomerate.
You played NC. Good, it's the right one.
Yeah, I played New Conglomerate.
They just found no dirty purple fuckers.
No, no, no. I tell you what, I played New Conglomerate about as I was on the kiosk that was right next to the announcer booth. So okay. I was sitting there playing, and every once in a while I'd look over and see whatever Total Biscuit's looking at, and I'm like, well, that's not my screen, so fuck off. But I talked to the Sony guys, and I was like, oh, that's right, they're live streaming. He's like, yeah, they're live streaming. I was like, who are they, how do they pick who to watch? He's like, well, usually they're picking the flying guys, because they get a, you know, if they got a good flyer, they get a good view of what's going on, rather than picking some.
They spend plenty of time on the ground.
Yeah.
In the live streams. I watched it every day.
So, I mean, it was... You know, it was, man, I really, like I said, I really enjoyed it. I just need to learn how to fly.
You'll be able to use your joystick in the game.
Well, that's cool.
For flying. That's something that they said. You know, for being an SOE game, that everybody's pretty optimistic about PlanetSide 2. Mostly people who have played PlanetSide,
yeah.
If that tells you anything.
No, it says a lot about the excitement and the hype for the game. Even though everybody shits on SOE. Nobody ever brings that into the conversation when we're talking about PlanetSide.
This is what I was talking about. I don't care if Sony makes nothing but bad decisions, but this one game over here is brilliant, then I'm going to patronize that game. If EA does the same, then I'm going to behave the same. I like spending my money where I think it will do good.
Yeah, it was a bit of a thing when I realized that Hawken was a free-to-play game. I was like, oh, I was honestly a little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no, I want to give you money.
I know. I know how that feels. You just have to make an effort to give them the money through the channels that they're kind of devising.
Yeah, exactly. And so
I don't know yet anything about their payment model, though, about their stuff.
And they're not too sure. They're not too sure themselves. I mean, obviously, customization will be one of those things where, hey, I want to buy this, whatever, zebra stripe for my mech, you know, you can buy that through their microtransactions or whatever, but they are specifically trying to avoid pay to win scenarios, obviously.
Everybody seems to.
Everybody tries to.
And
I don't
really find that to be much of a lie. Nobody trusts anyone who says that, but I don't think anyone who makes their game free to play wants pay to win.
Yeah.
I think they're all probably smart enough to understand that that would hurt them beyond the first moments of their game.
Yeah, they want, you know, they're not exactly sure. I mean, the game doesn't release until December 12th. And even that is sort of it's not tentative. It's just sort of okay, we're going to kind of be in the public eye at that point.
Right.
It's not, it's a release date, but it's still basically probably going to be a beta.
Being a beta. That's actually, yeah. that isn't really a problem.
Anymore. Yeah, that's who I talked to about that whole situation.
Particularly if it's a free-to-play game, but even if it isn't necessarily, there's no reason to believe that, you know, you've been screwed at all.
Yeah, they don't know how they're going to do the. They don't know in what way. Obviously, like I said, the customization for your mech will be one way to pay for microtransactions and stuff. But they haven't devised yet the other ways that that's going
to
be.
One of the things that everybody seems to come down to is that as long as whatever you're buying with money can be achieved through in-game currency or experience, then it's okay. So long as the time necessary to achieve it in-game isn't extraordinary.
Yeah.
I'm softening on the free-to-play issue from where I was, say, a year ago.
That's because apparently more games that you want to play are
going. No, that's exactly it. No, it's entirely a selfish thing.
Yeah.
If I were to make a top five list of things that I want to play this year, two of them are free-to-play.
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird to me. That's very strange.
Yeah.
Maybe even more if I took a closer look. I'm not even sure there are five things I absolutely super duper want to play this year.
Yeah, you know that there are two that you super duper want to play this year.
Oh, it's a, well, you know, we'll compile our lists on the next episode.
That's fine. Yeah,
that wasn't lost on me, and not only that, and it's not like I didn't find myself saying, God damn it, All right, fine. I'll fucking go through some microtransaction thing for Hawken, and I'll deal with some microtransaction nonsense for Planetside. It wasn't like that. It was for the first time I looked at each of them and was like, can't wait to buy some shit from your store. Yeah. I really want to play your game. I'll wonder what the first thing I'll buy
will be
on day one.
I can't wait to play that, more of that, and I can't wait to really experience what Planetside 2 has.
Well, as I was saying before, Higby said, closed beta within the next few weeks, open beta a few weeks after that, launch in 2012.
Okay.
Those are his words. He said that on Reddit. So, actually, he may have said that on Twitter, but he restated it on Reddit. So.
Yeah.
We can certainly talk about everyone else's perception of the show, but in general, just you and I talking about your experience at the show. I'm surprised to see that you had a good time. I expected you to follow the same line so many other people did and just sort of work yourself into a rut.
Man, I got tired of hearing it, man. I really got tired of hearing it because, I mean, as much as you read about it, I hear it on the show floor.
Yeah.
I hear it running into people talking about, oh, well, they won, they lost, they did this, whatever. This is such a horrible... blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the times it got to the point where I wanted to smack people in the face and tell them to look, for years and years and years, I've watched this shit from my house wanting to be here. You guys got to go when it was in Atlanta. I never did. So for years, I just got to watch this shit and be like, God, I wish I was there. Man, I wish I was there. Not so that I could come here and then... I mean, you've lost the focus of what
you've lost perspective.
You have. You really have.
And it's hard. Again,
I do it at my job. I work in radio, and there's plenty of people who are like, oh, man, radio, that must be really fun, and that must be great. I don't want to shit on them and tell them, for the first maybe year it is, and then it all sets in, and it becomes your job, and then you hate it, or whatever the case. You know, I don't want to shit on that, but... I want them to experience, because maybe they won't have the same reaction that I have. Maybe for them, it's going to be exactly what they want it to be. And I've lost sight of that in my own job, that radio is like one of those fun jobs that people really wish, that people think they'll never be able to get. They're going to be stuck in their rut for the rest of their life. They wish they could have this. There's a shit ton of people out there who wish they could be in your shoes right now. And probably if they were, would do everything they can to make it the best that it could be for them.
You wouldn't be able to suppress their optimism.
So shut your fucking mouth. Be glad you're here. Be glad you're in the position that you're in, because you didn't get into game journalism because you want to shit on stuff. You got into it because you thought it would be a great job and that it's going to do this. Now you're shitting on this. And you know what it makes it sound like? It makes you sound like you aren't appreciative of what you've got. So fuck off. I don't want to listen to you anymore. And I'm not saying don't lie about it. Don't make it something that it's not. But quit being such a cynical asshole.
I know.
and I say that almost looking in a mirror.
Please. I complain a lot, and I understand what my complaints are about. My complaints are that I always want something to be better.
I know.
But, and I don't want to make excuses for other things I've said. But I will say that I cannot stand the auto-cynical horseshit. There is every reason to be optimistic. If you have to sift through a bunch of garbage to find it, to find the gem, then you sift through. It's one of the things that you're here to do. It's one of the things we should all do for ourselves. I do it for myself. You do it for your readers. Publishers do it for their customers. I don't care how you look at it. But... I think we've made our point several times over, and I think that's really the thing I'm most concerned about with you and I here immediately following the show.
Yeah.
If you want details and information about things, then it's out there. We'll come back in another week and talk more details about hands-on. Or we'll shoot the shit and toss the potato around about who did great and who didn't do great. Right? Because anybody needs us to sit around and talk about what shit Microsoft did. Of course it was. There's still a lot of reasons to do what you did, what you just did.
Yeah.
There's still reasons to justify the discomfort and the expense. For for some reason, I really feel like we'd be better served talking about those things. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm very glad you enjoyed it, as a matter of fact. So it's good. Let's pretend I'll go next year. That would be fun.
Yeah, it would. Yes, it would. It might be very tough to get into some of these press conferences. I don't know how easy it's going to be to get into some of these press conferences next year, but we'll see. Not that you need to experience that, but I kind of want you to. Just to kind of be there live, but not, you know, I understand that you'll be more show floor person than anything else.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
I've just always wanted to be at one where they reveal their new console, that's all. I don't know why, but I've always wanted to be there for those things.
Well, I'd like to be at one where they give away a console.
No, totally. You know, I got...
the PlayStation Plus subscription. That would be nice. You know, it's like, oh, okay, thanks for buying my applause.
Yeah, really.
I mean, whatever. There goes my cynicism. I suppose it's time to turn it off now.
I think it is.
We'll get together in another week. Hopefully, everybody found something to enjoy from the show. And I, as a person who was stuck at home and who really feels like screaming from the bench all the time while Scott's out there doing his reporting, I'm very appreciative of everybody who let him touch their games.
Yes.
It means a lot to me in its own way.
Oh, no, I am too. I'm very appreciative of all the companies that reached out to us, and even the companies that I had to reach out to but weren't, you know, the companies that either... Hell, I was grateful for a response even when they said, you know, we're really busy, we don't have any time, sorry. Rather than the people that just didn't respond at all and just kind of left me hanging. But I got good responses from plenty of the PR people, and the ones that reached out, grateful for. The ones that got back in touch with us, very grateful for. And the ones that I met on the show floor that just said, sure, come on by. Can't be thankful enough for that. So it can only do you good to let people play your games.
Which is probably where the producers and the publishers need to make the most progress.
Yeah, I agree.
If it's not ready for the show floor, if it's not ready for hands-on, it shouldn't be there.
It shouldn't be there.
I mean, exactly. I understand. I understand there's certain things we can't see yet. Things that are just announced, that lives in its own category. But if you're on the floor, if you have a man standing next to a fucking podium, if you have the opportunity to convince somebody of the worth of your game, you should take it.
Yeah. So, and so with that being said, if this episode gets out before next week's episode gets recorded, we'd love to hear from you on your thoughts of E3, that you can email us or send us tweets. We figure at this point you know how to get in touch with us, so we'll just leave that in the air for now. But we'd like to hear back from you guys on your E3 experiences and what you enjoyed, what you saw, and what you'd like to see more of. So, anyway, that's it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening. See you in a week.